B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Was trusting to go make that play. And running out of the backfield, Boston Scott making plays for you.
Yeah.
Miles Sanders coming back after some cramping. He stepped up and made plays for you. This was a team with everybody on that football field. They wanted to win that game. It didn't come to fruition until the second half. Certainly didn't come to fruition until the end of the third quarter, fourth quarter, and then obviously in overtime. But that was an example of a team willing a win to happen.
He'll be the type of cat that once your young guys come in, they get settled in, and say they win out and they make it to the playoffs, he'll come out. Oh, yeah, I'm ready to go now. So, Dan, what do you do?
Ho, ho, ho.
I know what I'm doing.
Thanks anyway.
Yeah.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, you can go sit down now, but, you know.
How do you trust that?
I know. You don't.
That's the biggest factor that you can talk about with a guy like Nelson Aguilar and all these receivers throughout the year. Just whether or not the play, whether or not the guy wants to make the play. And it sounds like something that might be, you know, hard to prove or whatever, but you can't tell me that watching this entire season, those guys have wanted to make the play. Like the play against the Dallas Cowboys that we dissected, oh my God, we dissected for a week, yeah, if not longer, about that he could have gone up and get the ball was out of position, wrong trajectory, whatever it might be. You can't tell me that guy trying to track that ball is a guy that wants to make the play.
He didn't want to make a play more than he didn't want to look bad.
Right.
Follow, like,
yeah, absolutely.
So he didn't want to put himself out there because if he did, and there was a chance the ball landed right in his hands or right in his chest, he would have looked worse than he did by not extending in his mind.
610-632-0975. Coming up, we're going to talk to Mark Jackson in just a second, but I do have to tell you about the Fanatic Deal of the Week. This week, only get one peak day ticket to Blue Mountain Resort. Valid weekdays, Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays during the 2019-2020 season for just $40. Blue Mountain is the home of PA's highest vertical, the most varied terrain, and some of the longest runs in Pennsylvania. Check it out now at 975thefanatic.com. Hurry, this holiday deal ends, or rather is only available for purchase now through Sunday or while supplies last. You are listening to 975 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast.
Now, here's the thing, too. He said that he injured his knee against the Vikings, right?
Yeah.
So now here you go. You go up against Dallas.
Yep.
You had that big throw that was thrown to you that you know, he was like, hey, it came in at the wrong trajectory. But, you know, and he caught a lot of heat for that. And not one time, even when you go back to that, he was like, oh, I was hauling. I was running my fastest. I was running as hard as I could. Hauling. Not one time did he say, hey, man, my knee was bugging me.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. This day and age, that stuff doesn't get out.
Right.
I mean, there's no way. There's no way looking at film, somebody doesn't say, well, he looks a little hobbled there. There's no way Jeff McClain going through stuff or whatever says, he looks a little, half a step slow.
Right.
No way.
And if you're Nelson and you don't want to be the guy that's blaming an injury or trying to have an excuse, you're leaking it to somebody.
Sure.
Hey, by the way, let everyone know my knee really bothers me.
Yeah.
Really hurt to try to make that play.
You're walking through the locker room with, like, a doctor attached to it.
You're wrapping a knee contusion.
Exactly.
610-632-0975. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a huge Sixers game tonight. Anytime they play the Celtics, it's a big game, and tonight is another example of that. And on the line with us to break it down a little further is our good friend, who I believe I will see tomorrow night, Mr. Mark Jackson from NBC Sports Philadelphia. What's up, Mark?
What's up, fellas? What's up? Now, hold on. Now, you know, we got to start it off.
What's up?
You told everybody on your station that you was going to be at the studio and I can give you the jersey.
That's correct.
But apparently, and you didn't show up, by the way, but apparently, you said something like, oh, I was there and he wasn't there. Dude, I got like 50, literally. 50 DMs like, yo, Mark said he was there.
No, swear to God. Not your fault.
I was like, bro, Wayne wasn't there. They're like, yeah, well, he said he did. You weren't there. I was like,
I said I missed you. I apologize for the DMs, Mark. I really do. This is my fault. 100% my responsibility. I got to do a better job of getting that jersey from you to Trey and then back to you.
We're going to get it done.
Now, are you working Friday?
Yes, sir, I am.
I'll see you tomorrow night. I will see you tomorrow night, and if you don't, it is my fault.
Okay, bet.
We're going to get this done. I promise you. This much I guarantee. Mark, did you hear the comments from Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal about our boy Joel Embiid?
Yes, I did.
What did you make of those comments?
Okay, so before I say what I made of the comments, I need to say this. It's funny how some people in the media feel as though that people who did the actual sport are not allowed to be critical. I listened to somebody yesterday on the radio saying that Charles Barkley and Shaq criticized them, but they didn't give no advice. Yes, they did. There's lots of advice in there. If you played the game before, you will understand it. So what I mean by this, what Charles and Shaq were saying is like, yes, you had 22-10. Yeah, that's good. That's average. That's average. That's average for a good player.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid is not an average good player. He is a changer. He is a player of his decade. He's the rarest. He's the real unicorn. The skills he has to do. He has set the bar so high that all they were saying is, we see you had 22-10. Play harder. That's what the message was. So for some people, some of us media people who never played the game at a high level and could criticize Charles and Shaq for being critical, but spitting the truth is not right and is not cool. What Charles and Shaq specifically was saying, we see you got 22-10, but you're better than that. Play harder and it will come easier. That's what the piece of advice they was offering him. That's what it was. You know, so what they said was accurate. Yes, Joel had 22-10, but he didn't. He should have had 30-15 because he's capable of doing that.
Mark, I'm with you.
Joel is not an average player. He's a superstar, and he could have had superstar-type numbers.
We're speaking with Mark Jackson, former Sixer, former Temple Owl, current NBC Sports Philadelphia Sixers pre- and post-game analyst. But when it comes to this guy, when it comes to Joel Embiid, anything they said, I feel like we've said on this very show, Mark, I know you've said it.
Yes.
It's not about being an all-star. It's about being an MVP candidate. And that's what we want to see from Joel Embiid.
Yes. We see it. See, I don't know. Okay, maybe Charles. I don't know if Shaq watches majority of the Sixers games. He's all over.
Right.
But maybe Charles may watch a little more. But people who watch these games every day or majority of the time, we see that how great Joel Embiid is. We know he's a star. He's a big-time player. So, yes, 22-10 is good, but everyone, like you guys, like myself, we want more because he's capable of more. We're not asking him to fly. We just ask him to jump over a mountain because we feel as though he's capable of doing that. So we have seen what he's done. You have said this. Y'all have said this plenty of times. We want to see more of Joel because he's capable of it. Y'all not asking him for something he's not capable of doing. Those are facts.
Mark, what's holding him back from being that superstar each and every night? Is it more physical or is it more mental?
I think it's a combination of both. I say this again. Joel Embiid he came into camp, he said 25 pounds lighter, right? But when I watch the tapes, and I'm a basketball junkie, guys, I watch the tapes. When I watch the tapes, I think it's instances where Joel can play harder. That's just a fact to me.
Mm-hmm.
I see instances when he can play harder. And that's mental to me. Is he tired? Is he physically beat up? Yeah, he's beat up, but I don't think he's fatigued. His minutes are down around 30, which is probably the lowest in his career so far. So his minutes are down. He's not playing LeBron minutes. He's playing 40 minutes a game, 42 minutes a game. I think he's capable of playing harder, and that's just mentally telling yourself, yo, I got to go harder. And he admitted it. He admitted, like, you know, I've been kind of chilling or what. I don't know the exact phrase he used, but he said it himself. I need to play harder. He said, I need to kind of, not to have fun thing. I mean, see, he said this 2 or 3 weeks ago about how he was kind of letting the game come to him. He needs to take control. He said this. So even he sees it.
Speaking with Mark Jackson, NBC Sports Philadelphia. So big matchup tonight. Another Sixers test for them, playing the Celtics. Obviously, things went the Sixers' way earlier in the season with the first game of the year. How do you think this game plays out tonight against the Celtics?
Now, I think this is going to be a very intriguing game because when the Sixers decided to go larger with Al Horford at the 4, Tobias at the 3, Boston was the complete opposite. They said, you know, we're going to do what Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors did. We're going to go extreme small ball. Where they literally have a point guard and 3 shooting guards at the 2, 3, and the 4. And they just plug in and play at the 5. So what's interesting about that to me is it's a clash of styles, like two boxers. One's a brawler, one's a dancer. Who's going to win? And I think the 76ers overpower Boston. they pretty much they outmanned them. They physically beat them up in the first game, and he was able to walk through that, which is interesting to me. Even though Gordon Hayward has been out, now he's back. Boston had developed chemistry quicker than the Sixers, and a team who developed chemistry the quickest normally goes on a roll, the Suns. So Boston did that. That's why their record, they're up high in the standings. They were rolling because they developed the chemistry. But I still say this, and I said it on air after the Toronto game, and I'll say it again. I'll say it again. When the end of the season get here, it's even Milwaukee. There's no team that's going to stay in the Sixers' way. They just need time. Boston clicked sooner. They've got to roll quicker. But this is a battle of styles. You got a heavyweight that likes a brawl, and you got a heavyweight like Larry Holmes who likes to dance around the ring. Who's going to win?
Right. Mm-hmm. No, I love that. Mark Jackson. The other thing here is Ben Simmons got challenged by his head coach, or challenged by his coach, Brett Brown, to shoot at least 1 3 and go to the foul line at least 8 times. That's really still has yet to happen since that challenge was issued by his head coach. What do you make of that?
Listen, here we go. Oh, man, we got a good topic. There you go.
Listen. Yeah, we got me and you fighting over a jersey, and we got Ben Simmons not shooting threes.
Exactly. Listen, we needed this. We needed him to put it out to the world because we all know as basketball people that's what he needs to do. He doesn't need to make it, but he needs to shoot them. He needs to get to the free throw line and put pressure on the opposing team to make this team better and to make him a better overall player. And we was all wondering. I wonder if Brett Brown is telling him this. So now that Coach Brett Brown has put it out to the world, that's Brett Brown's way of putting added pressure on Ben Simmons to do what he probably been telling him to do behind closed doors. I truly love that Brett Brown put it out to the world. He put it out so we all know. Well, at least we know the coach is telling him to do it, so will he do it?
Right.
It is for the benefit of the team as well as himself. It needs to be done for this team to really be the elite team in the NBA.
Mark, Joel Embiid put something out there, and he said that he's not having fun and he needs to get back to that, but he also said that some of his immature stuff has been cut. What do you think he meant by that, and how do you think that all played out and is going to play out?
See, I was interested. I was really curious about that because he said my fun has been cut. Does he mean maybe Elton Brand approached him and said, yo, we need you to be more of a leader. We need you to be kind of locked in and kind of get rid of that Twitter antics. Is he referring to that? Or is he referring to he's not having enough fun playing on the court? When I watch Joel play on the court, I think he's playing a little different this year. And I said it a couple of minutes ago. I think he's maybe something's bothering him on the court where he's not going as hard for certain reasons, or he's just his mind is not locked in like it has been in previous years. I didn't know my mind went all over the place when he said that. Was he in reference to I need to start talking about people on Twitter again? Do I need that or what was going on? I think, and then I went back to the cat thing. Maybe he got such negative, which he did. He got such negative reviews from his antics during the cat fiasco that maybe he took it to heart a little too much the opposite way. And instead of rocking that fine line, he kind of dialed it down too much. And he's like, yo, I'm dialing it down too much. Maybe that could be it.
Mark, what motivated you when you played?
I always looked at it like this. I grew up in a house with no heat and no running water. I was playing basketball. What else could be greater than that? I grew up in a drug-infested home, drug-infested community. Why, I have to play hard because I know how the other half lives because that's where I came from. Do I want to go back there? No. I couldn't run. I couldn't jump. My thing was, I'll rip your damn head off to get that offense rebound. I'll fight for a wall to do that help side D. That was my goal. So I played with a scowl on my face, with this mean look on my face. People like today, people still, the offense was psycho. It was me locked in, me being focused, me wanting to get the maximum I can out of my body and my game. So that's why I played so hard, because of that. So my motivation was I did not want to live the way I grew up. That's why I play hard like that.
My man. Mark Jackson, always great catching up with you. I will see you tomorrow. I'm going to get that jersey.
One name is William Felder Sr. in New Jersey. He was like, oh, he said he was there. You was there, Mark.
I think he's leaving out the key words there. I said, you weren't there yet. You weren't there yet because I left early because I went home and took a nap. But I will see you. I will see you tomorrow night.
Yes, sir. Have a good one, guys.
You too. Right, Mark Jackson, everybody. See, that's, you talk about motivation. I don't understand why more people, because a lot of these guys, they do come from very humble beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
And the motivation to either get out of the neighborhood or just go overall make a better life. Like, I'll tell you right now, even in the real world, like my father, God bless him, okay? My dad grew up without a dad. My dad worked his ass off in his life because he didn't want to have the same upbringing. He didn't want to give my brother and I the same upbringing that he had. He wanted to have a better life for us, right? So he worked his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had motivation. He still has motivation. Other people right now that are getting paid the money they're getting paid right now that might even have more humble beginnings than my own father, they don't have that motivation. And they're in a much different field for much more money. It's crazy to me.
Well, this contract is guaranteed, and it's 100-something million.
But don't you want to earn it? Don't you want to keep it? Don't you want to keep earning that money?
He's going to earn
it. Oh, I know he's going to get it, but yeah. I mean...
You're going to keep it.
Guess what? It's guaranteed in the NBA.
Yeah. No, that's what he's saying.
Pretty cool. Yeah. No, I know.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I'm just saying NFL is a crock.
Yeah, it's not like you have to keep going out there every year to prove yourself to be worth the amount of money that you're getting paid. So you know, like, all right, hey, regardless... That check's coming.
Yeah, like we've had this conversation before, and I think Shaq and Barkley were right on a lot they said. I think Barkley lost a lot of people when he said Sixers can't even compete with Milwaukee. They're in a different stretch. Like that was too far. But the Embiid stuff was right. And the conversation I've mentioned before, it's oddly a compliment to Joel while nitpicking. Like that's all it is, because we see the potential of all-time greatness in him. We just want it every night because that's what the all-time greats are. Mm-hmm. They're great every single night.
Yeah, what, again, with the stat line that we picked at, what, was it 26 and 21?
Yeah, Washington game, 8 turnovers. But 26 and 21, and we bitched about him, next, and rightfully so.
Because we're not, the goal of the season, and this is the gripe I have when people just call out a stat line like that. Oh, the guy played like that, and you're telling me he sucks. No, it's not the case, because the goal of the NBA season is to not beat the Wizards. The goal of the NBA season is to come out of the Eastern Conference. And the worry that comes in after you see an 8-turnover performance is whether or not he's going to do that against a much better team. Mm-hmm. For instance, in the playoffs, when it matters most. Because I don't believe in that switch. I never have, never will for any player. It's either on or it's off. You're either finding that motivation and you're locked in for a long period of time, whether it be 82 games, whether it be 65 games, whatever it might be for an athlete, whether it be 162 games or 16. Once you get that switch in the on position, it better stay there. I don't believe in it all of a sudden just flips.
Yeah, if you're fortunate enough to get to a game, a Lakers game, whatever, this year, watch LeBron James as soon as his sneaker hits the floor.
Oh, he's so good this year.
He'll do that. The team will go out and start their warm-ups. He'll get out there. He comes up, you know, about a minute later. Once his foot hits the floor, the playing floor, forget about it. He's in an atmosphere of just, you know, I'm going 1,000 miles an hour, try to stop me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what the greats do.
Yeah, I mean, the 0-point performance, for whatever reason, just stuck in my craw.
Because it was against the Raptors. He previously cried after he lost to them.
But I think we all agree he's got Springfield, Massachusetts potential.
Definitely, yeah.
And when you think about the guys that are in there, I can't think of anyone that would be accepting of a 0-point game.
Mm-hmm.
Like that,
kind of hard to imagine.
That's the thing that needs to change. That can't happen.
And it seemed like you heard him after that performance, it sounded like he was all right with that.
Yeah, it does seem to be an attitude thing, and I think he's trying. I just think he's struggling with it.
Mm-hmm. All right, now we gotta address something here. Mm-hmm. Do we often refer to this as the trust tree?
Yeah.
The circle,
yeah.
The circle, yes. Of trust, the trust tree.
Tree of trust, yes.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Trey, do you see that man behind the glass?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
That rat bastard's name is Jamie Lynch.
Okay, what happened there?
Bobby, you see this guy?
Oh, yeah, I've hated him for a long time.
Bob, that's not nice.
I'm sorry, I disliked him for a long time. Thank you.
He put something outside the trust tree.
I put you on blast.
I gave you.
I mean, I think it's borderline serial killer behavior.
Oh, come on.
I think the masses need to know.
The fact that you just out this on, so you put it in writing, you jerk.
It's out there.
With a gif of Jimmy Butler. All right, I'll say it. It's better if it comes from me.
Yeah, it is.
I have never ordered anything off Amazon.
That broke my brain.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Now, I will say, in somewhat of my defense, my wife has ordered my wonderful bamboo coffee mug.
Uh-huh.
Boom.
This is what audience is seeing right now.
Yeah, there you go. This is off Amazon. My wife ordered. I asked, hey, would you mind, Toots, order this for me? And she goes, sure, babe. And she ordered it for me. But me, myself, and I have never gone on Amazon and ordered something.
That's amazing. Yeah, amazing.
How does that happen?
Well, the drone thing didn't happen. I wanted a drone to fly something to my house, and then that didn't happen.
I order from Amazon all the time.
I think I order maybe 2 to 3 times a week.
I know it's a slippery slope.
And then Jamie just told me that they deliver groceries. I called the Mrs. Babe. Did you know that they can deliver groceries? This is amazing.
So Jamie tweeted out that I've never ordered anything off Amazon. Bob?
What? Bob's never ordered anything off Amazon either.
Oh, now I'm embarrassed.
Okay, Bob. No,
wow, Bob.
You don't know that. Have you?
Have you ordered anything off Amazon?
No.
We're on a 4-person show tray and half.
Have you ordered
from Amazon?
Like, my wife does all the shopping for the kids, so she's ordered off
pretty plenty. Selling for the kids.
I don't shop for myself.
It's stuff.
You don't have to go to the store and look for stuff. It just arrives at your doorstep 24 hours later.
I don't go to the store and look for stuff for myself either.
But there's so much stuff.
So much stuff.
I will say this. I almost ordered one particular thing, and it's the weirdest thing possible.
Yeah?
Because I Googled it.
I always get my white elephant Christmas gifts on there because they have good gag gifts.
Okay.
So, like, this year I ordered, like, a little desktop screaming goat. It's like a bobblehead, and it just does the screaming goat yell.
See, that's why I enjoy going to Spencer Gifts. I still enjoy that.
I enjoy Spencer.
I still enjoy one walk through the mall.
That's a great place.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But what's odd is I was Googling it because I never have it, and the restaurant always forgets to give it to you when you get it in the order. You know the little yellow mustard packets from...
Amazon's got it!
They got it!
A guy, I swear, had like 1,000 packets. Because you can't buy the bottle.
Oh, you can't?
I've gone down to Chinatown to try to buy the little mustard packet, like a bottle of it. Impossible. And I've gone on to try to... I've talked about this before because they always forget the little spicy mustard packets that I love so much for my General Tso's chicken and my pork fried rice. Yeah. And I tried to order it. There was a guy that had 1,000 bag
Did he collect them?
See, that's why I didn't order it. Because I don't know if this is just some freak that has bodies like in his backyard.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I have these mustard packets I can sell. But I didn't buy it, but I almost did.
Like...
And I think I'm going to buy it soon.
What was the last thing you ordered on Amazon, Trey? Sneakers?
I don't know. I order so much stuff.
You got sneakers in the 7 o'clock hour.
Always order. Like, I get my golf balls from there.
Really?
Yeah, like,
Mark, I guess we're out.
Yeah, we're out.
There's a whole world out there we know nothing about.
Amazon is amazing. Like, how do you not order from Amazon?
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Ladies and gentlemen, coming up, I'm so excited to meet this man. He's coming to Helium Comedy Club. He's a phenomenal actor, phenomenal podcaster. He is just incredible. Michael Rappaport will be joining us in just a couple of minutes. Time of the Fanatic is 9:23.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in studio. Please, joining Farzetta and Trey in the morning, the great actor, comedian, podcaster, Michael Rappaport in studio with us. Michael,
thanks for having me.
This is incredible. Now, here's what just happened at the break. In all seriousness, we just said to you, four different people said to you in the studio, something that you were in that they loved.
True Romance.
Favorite movie. Boom, just like that.
Atypical, yeah.
Atypical on Netflix right now. Yep. You're going to be at Helium Comedy Club, which is why you're in the city.
Yep.
We'll plug that. We'll talk about that in a second. But I talked to you about Higher Learning.
Yep.
I talked to you about Copland. Bob mentioned Friends.
Yeah.
Like, the versatility, the range of your acting ability, my friend, is just unmatched.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I've... when you say those things, I don't take it for granted. I've had the opportunity to do a lot of different things, a lot of good things, some not so good things over the years. But I love being an actor. I'm proud of everything I've done, and I'm excited about doing stand-up. I'm excited about performing at Helium here in Philly, and honestly, it means a lot to me that you guys have said all those things. I don't take it for granted at all.
Thursday, so tonight at Helium Comedy Club, 8 o'clock. Friday, you have two shows, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. Saturday, the 7:30 show already sold out.
Yep.
So then 10 o'clock on Saturday night.
Yep. And we're going to be rocking and rolling. It's disruptive comedy. I love the people of Philly. I've always had a fondness for Philadelphia. My introduction, like a lot of people who aren't from here, was when I was 6 years old and going to the movie theater and seeing Rocky. To be honest, I was talking to my wife. I was like, that's almost one of my first memories as a kid. Is that
same
movie.
Rocky?
Literally, because wow, I was six. Like it impacted me so much on such an emotional level. It's weird because it wasn't so much the boxing; it was the emotion of the film. I didn't understand it, but there was something about that film, as the world knows, that resonated. And that, and Dr. J, like I wasn't into Batman, I wasn't into Superman. Like Dr. J was my superhero. Like I. That was my guy. So those two things sort of brought me into the world and learning Philadelphia from afar. And you know, I've always been. I'm not going to sit here and lie. I'm not an Eagles fan.
It's all good.
Okay. I'm not going to play games here with you. I respect the Eagles. I respect their fans. Mm. But I've always had. When they were dealing with the Boston Celtics and Larry Bird, and when you know whatever Bird said to Doc, and he had to choke him out, and then the Moses Malone and the Charles Barkley and of course the Allen Iverson. I always root for Philly teams.
Okay, so you have always been a big basketball fan,
big basketball,
as well.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we talked to a guy earlier on the show at 7:30, a local writer named Mike Kern. When he talks, you hear Philadelphia, like you hear that. And what you talk, you hear New York. But to hear New York say those glowing things about Dr. J and whatnot, that the respect factor is just right there, my friend.
I mean, who doesn't love Doc?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Unless you're some Boston fan. Everybody loves Doc. And I was a kid, you know, everybody loved Doc. And it wasn't like now where you had access to all the players. You know, you knew what you knew and you saw who you saw. And Doc was the biggest out of everybody, the coolest out of everybody. And without Doc, there's no Michael Jordan. You know, it's just period. And, and also the music and the sound of Philadelphia from, you know, the Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes to Teddy and all that stuff. And, you know, the Gamble and Huff sound, you know, like the stylistics and even the stuff, you know, all that stuff and the roots. Like, I dig Philly, you know, from, you know, PSK, you know, Spoonie G, like Fresh Prince and, you know, Jazzy Jeff. And, I mean, I've always had an affinity for the city.
This is amazing. This is incredible.
But right. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm an Eagles fan. So everything I'm saying is genuine, and I'm going to tell you I'm not an Eagles fan. So I'm not going to play that. I'm not playing that game.
Are you a Giants or Jets?
I'm a Giants fan, sir.
Okay.
I'm a New York Football Giants fan, sir.
Was it good to see Eli again on Monday? It was
great
memories.
You know, I would have loved for us to pull out the victory, but it was a good game. It was exciting. And you know, it was good to see him. He played well. And, you know, the Giants are, you know, we need to get it together. You know, not to say that the Eagles are, you know, you guys aren't, the wings are a little damp right now, but I am at Helium tonight, so I watch myself. But you know, I love the NFL and I love my fantasy football. So that's important. So like if I do have Carson Wentz, or if I do have Alshon, you know, rest assured I'll be rooting for them.
When it comes to a Philly audience, though, this is the first time you've performed in front of a Philly audience.
Yes.
Wow.
Stand-up comedy, yes.
Stand-up comedy, sure. But what are you expecting tonight? I mean, you know the people we are.
I'm expecting great sense of humor. I know you guys are good people and great sense of humor, and I think you guys you love hard and you get frustrated. You're like New Yorkers. You guys are like we're one and the same.
Here's what here's what no one wants to admit. Boston, New York, and Philly in particular are the cities that break stones better than anybody.
100%. And you know, when I perform in Boston, I don't have as many pleasant things to say. I like Philly. And like I said, Boston, you know, I know you, that's very common. Like we have that in common because I think Boston's an island to itself.
Okay.
Like those people are a different kind of person out there in Boston. But I dig them too. But I'm expecting people to have a good time. I plan on putting on a good show this weekend at the Helium Comedy Club in Philly, and I'm excited to be here.
Now you were in I mentioned this earlier, Copland, which seriously is a movie I really enjoyed. But that's with De Niro and that's with Harvey Keitel, obviously,
and Sylvester Stallone.
You're Rocky himself right there in front of you. But they just came out with another movie, The Irishman.
Yes.
Is Robert De Niro, first off, are you in the club that gets to call Robert De Niro Bobby?
Everybody calls him Bob.
Okay.
That's he'll introduce himself. He'll say Bob.
I couldn't handle that.
Trust me, it took me a long time to even be able to make eye contact with him.
Being on a set with those guys, is it something where, what's it like trying to match the intensity on that set?
You know, they're not like purposely intimidating. You know, Robert De Niro is kind of a very shy guy, very unassuming. When he's in character, it's a different thing. But in real life, there's no airs. Like, he's very unassuming in real life and great to work with. You know, and actors in general are not trying to bully other actors. I've never felt an actor who's trying to, it's not sports, you know, where it's different. Especially when you're performing together, just like if you're on the same team with one another, there needs to be a comfortability and familiarity. And so those guys, when I worked with them, they wanted me to shine, because if I shine, the movie shines, and they get that. And Stallone was awesome because he gave me all my Rocky. I mean, like, to the point where the director told me to not speak to him anymore. You know, like, I got to do lines with him from every Rocky film. I did Rocky lines, he would do Mickey lines. You know, he would play other cats. I would be Rocky, and he would be Paulie. So I got all that from him. Like, I was like, I got to talk to him specifically today about 3. We're just going to talk Rocky 3 today. Like, I don't want to divert Clubber, going to L.A., you know, what the training regimen was like with
Apollo.
The
weird hug on the beach.
All of that. The scene, you know, I'm afraid. You know, like, when he's like, he confesses to Adrian, like,
the first time in my life.
Yeah. I'm scared. You want to break me down? Is that what you want to do then? You know, like, so I got to do all of it. Trust me, I got to do it all with Stallone, with all my Rocky stuff. And last night, I ran the Rocky steps.
Did you really?
Oh, yes.
First time? The Army's in.
First time I ran the steps. Wow. It wasn't the first time I was there, but it was the first time I properly ran them. The first time I came, it was like 90-something, and I did the steps. But, like, I was so tripped out the first time I was here, but because I had imagined running those stairs so much, I was almost like, in my head, I was like, oh, well, I've ran these stairs a bunch of times, because, like, I had planned it out in my head. But last night I ran the stairs, I wanted to get ready for the show tonight. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get my mind right. And I know you guys think it's a cliche because you're from here. I got ready. Like, I was in the zone last night. Running those stairs, jumping around. My wife was like, we're not doing it again. You did it twice. We videotaped it twice. You could pick and choose in the editing room. Now we're going home. It's getting cold out here.
Michael Rappaport in studio with us. Atypical on Netflix. You can watch it right now. Also at Helium Comedy Club tonight at 8 o'clock. Friday night, tomorrow night, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. And then the 7:30 show Saturday night already sold out. 10 o'clock Saturday night. Still available for tickets here. Michael, your respect for Dr. J and that Sixers team, has it carried over to this current one?
Yo, I had a dream before the season started, and I'm not like a premonition guy, but I had an actual dream that you guys played and beat the Los Angeles Lakers in 7 games, and nothing would make me happier than that happened. Because first of all, I'm no longer a Knicks fan. I'm done.
I don't blame you.
You've removed yourself.
No, I'm done. I'm not saying, like, I'm a free agent. I'm not a Sixers fan. Like, that's not my, like, but I would love nothing more than you guys to beat LeBron James in the finals. And, I mean, really, like, in a bad way. Like, maybe your guy, Ben Simmons, makes a 3 to cut their throats. Because I can't stand the Lakers. And I can't stand this particular Laker team. And I want them... I want it to be a painful ending.
Do you like watching JoJo with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, those guys?
Of course. How could you not? I mean, I want to see, you know, them lock and load. You know, I want to see them kicking teams' But, you know, and I want to see Tobias, you know, really being used correctly. And I want to see Ben Simmons just shoot the ball. Mm-hmm. Make some, miss some, just shoot the ball. You got to have the defenders back off you. And I don't get the free throw thing. But, I mean, listen, you guys got a lot to be happy about. You know, there's a couple of games that you could have won this year where you're 18-7. I'm a Knicks fan. I know you have to trust the process. I know you're 26.
You don't even have a process.
We don't have a process. Nah. There's no nicknames that are coming out of this. We have an owner who's in a blues band.
It's a bleep show. That's the nickname.
We have an owner who travels and tours currently as the lead singer in a blues band.
A blues band.
In a blues band.
Yeah, James Dolan.
We're talking about blues?
Now, Atypical on Netflix. It's close to home. I know, Bob, for you. It's a show you're going to be checking out. Very interesting show. The son in the show, I believe, is autistic. And you guys, you know, you talk about that and, you know, life's you know, crazy instances as well on the program. And it's a great show, man.
Great show. Very proud of the show. Very proud of the themes it takes on. You know, people have responded to it in an emotional way, and you know, season three is streaming on Netflix, and I'm looking forward to hopefully getting the pickup and going to do season four. Maybe we do back-to-back do four and five, because the fans deserve it. The people really love Atypical, and everybody who's a part of it is very proud of that.
And the last thing I have to say, otherwise my wife will kill me, is you were great on Friends.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that.
Michael,
I can't believe you waited to the end because you're your wife. You know, she's listening here.
Lisa only listens for the last 20 minutes.
Right. Yeah. Okay, cool.
If you had to pick one podcast, acting, comedy, what would you pick? Sideline, NBA, man, sideline reporter.
I love it all. I'm enjoying doing stand-up comedy. I'm never going to not be an actor. I love doing my podcast, and I'm just happy to be rocking and rolling and still excited to get out of bed to go to work. And you know, like I said, I'm very, very pumped to be performing here at Helium, you know, starting tonight. And, you know, like I said, I love this city, and I've always had an affinity for it. But I'm going to say it one final time. I ain't an Eagles fan, okay? I didn't mind when you guys took down the miserable Patriots, but it took me a long time because it was the lesser of two evils for me.
Gotcha.
Okay, so I did like that I enjoyed that.
Oh, I guess one thing I left out, that you did a fine play-by-play of two moose fighting.
Yes. That just got super viral.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
Never could plan or predict how those things work out, but it's taken on a life of its own.
Michael, you're the man. Thank you so much for coming in. Good luck. Go see this man at Helium Comedy Club. You can see him tonight. You can see him tomorrow night. You can see him Saturday as well. Michael Rappaport, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Time at the Fanatic, 9:44.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
No lie, that was one of my favorite conversations we've ever had
with
anybody. I'll say this: talking to Mark Jackson earlier, that was a fun interview to do with Mark. Mark was first breaking my stones right out of the gate.
He was fired up,
and he was fired up because he's talking about effort. A guy that got by on effort and working hard, working his ass off.
And then I got a couple texts from people that said I would run through a wall if that man was my coach.
And then Michael Rappaport. How you see him in interviews and like he's the real deal.
Yeah.
Like he's that's exactly how he just was, even off air with us in the studio. That was wild.
Yeah, really. That, cool.
Absolutely wild.
Good dude.
Stan, real quick, in Drexel Hill, what do you got on the Sixers, my friend?
Hey, real quick, yo, I'm watching Get Up, and I'm watching Mike Greenberg and Jay Williams. And you would swear that the Sixers are like 0-25, by the way. These
guys.
It's unbelievable. No, seriously, because you're looking at it. The Sixers have beaten the Celtics, have beaten the Raptors, have beaten the Heat, who everybody's just in love with, have beaten the Denver Nuggets. All, you know, these teams, but you would swear that the Sixers are the worst team in the league. And I'm like, if they're doing these things and you feel like they're just coasting, what do you think is going to happen? Do you not think that they might turn it up as it gets a little closer to that time?
Probably.
I'm looking at it and I'm saying to myself, 18-7, and there's still what, three or four games that we say that they probably should have won anyway.
Uh-huh.
And there's only three games out of first place in the East, and it's just mind boggling, because I understand frustration with, you know, Ben Simmons, and, you know, we want to see more from him and all that, and Joel, and, you know, whether the, but I'm like, yo, y'all really talking like the Sixers are the worst team in the league? This should not even be a segment. They're talking about tomorrow, and I hope y'all cover this, tomorrow doing a segment about Ben Simmons and his shooting and this, that, and the third, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing to me.
Stan.
So I had to pass it along.
I appreciate it. Stan, I appreciate it. Yeah, I feel like the Sixers get, They get hate nationally, but a lot of them say the same things really? That we say. I think they do because they know what potential's out there.
It's a frustrating team.
It is.
And he makes a good point. They're 18-7 after 25. Yeah, I like it. I also like the fact that they're not near as good as they could be.
Real quick on Twitch, somebody's saying to me, wait, Mark still watches Friends and never has used Amazon?
Like, for the
record, I don't watch Amazon. I don't watch Friends.
Yes, you do.
My wife watches Friends.
My wife watches Friends a lot. I tune in sometimes.
I'm out.
On. I never consistently watch it.
No. Nah, I'm usually on the old Twitter.
But the Amazon thing really broke my
brain. I'm really getting a lot of hate now, you jerk.
I mean, it's weird, Mark. You have to, first step is acknowledging that it's weird.
What's the third one? Like, I asked, like, people's forgiveness?
You one swipe. You can buy now with one swipe.
Yeah, it's right there.
It's awesome.
Yeah, especially
I would
if you
be
work
broke in 2 minutes.
If you go to Prime, you're a Prime member.
Uh-huh. You got
to
go Prime.
Does the drone thing come to my house with the package?
No,
I'm not interested.
I ordered a new keyboard for my iPad yesterday. It should be arriving. It should be at my doorstep when I get home.
Oh, that's adorable.
Don't even have to go to a store.
Sam, we didn't do a Twitter poll, but if we did, who would have brought us that fine Twitter poll?
Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payment and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
And finally, Sam, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway is my favorite Michael Rapaport movie is an underrated movie, Deep Blue Sea.
When you drop Deep Blue Sea on him, I was like, I thought I was random with Copland.
He even looked at her like, huh?
I told him, I was like, I know you don't get this one a lot, but I appreciated it.
Michael Rapaport was like, I forgot I made that movie. Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day.
Mark, correct your serial killer ways and just order something on Amazon.
I'll see what I can. I might be busy
support
tonight.
Support late stage capitalism. Order something from the devil Bezos.
Bob Cooney.
In keeping with today's themes, my mindset is to go home and make an effort to order something on Amazon.
You can do it, Bob. I believe in you.
I feel it.
Trey Thomas.
Just amazed that I have people that are around me that have never used Amazon. There's just so much stuff.
My takeaway today is Michael Rapaport is not an Eagles fan. But it sounds like he's at least skewing to being a Sixers fan. Right. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano show here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.